Welcome to Fusion, a show for Relay FM members where I talk to hosts from various shows about a single topic. My name is Stephen Hackett, and this month I'm joined by Alex Cox of Roboism and Casey Liss of Analog to talk about everyone's favorite billionaire, Mr. Elon Musk.
Hey guys!
Welcome to Fusion.
Thanks so much for having me, Steven.
Yeah, me too. Hey, what if Elon isn't my favorite billionaire, though?
Well, then you have to hang up. Now I'm curious, who is your favorite billionaire?
I have no idea. I'm just starting stuff.
So I will introduce you. For people who don't know, Alex Cox, like I said, is on Roboism. She's part of the wonderful Cards Against Humanity powerhouse and is on the very excellent podcast, Due by Friday. If you haven't listened to that, it is a joy every weekend to listen to that show.
That is absolutely factual.
Yeah, it's so good. So good.
That was one of those shows. That was one of those shows where it was like, oh, you've got to listen to this. And I was like, yeah. I'm sure it's good. But
no,
oh my God,
I don't want to. Hold on.
But I don't want to add another like hour to 2 hour commitment to my podcast listening habits. And oh, did I ever need to add it because it is that good.
It's really good. Of course, that's Casey Liss of Analog, the Accidental Tech Podcast, and a Volvo owner. So. Welcome,
well,
Casey.
Sort of. The family is. The family is, as of a few days ago.
Family Volvo. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Did the Volvo come with polo shirts, or did you wear that already?
Oh, I had them. I had plenty already. I am a weird employee at my office because I don't wear t-shirts. I wear polo shirts. Mm. Well, at least amongst the engineers.
What's that like?
Yeah, I know. Imagine you had to go to a place that was outside
that
of your property.
Terrible.
I know. Can you imagine? The travesty.
I mean... After 12 years of Catholic school, it's like wearing a t-shirt to work is just so liberating.
I will say, if I had to go to an office, I would want to go to the Cards Against Humanity office. We won't spoil the geolocation of the office for privacy reasons, but it is legitimately one of the coolest places I've ever been. Like, I'm not blowing smoke. Really, I really believe that.
That is absolutely factual.
It's awesome.
I mean, the address is all over the internet, but thank you for not being creepy and respecting our privacy, I guess, even though we tweet pictures of it all the time.
Well, I mean, that's on you. I don't want Gary the privacy clown to come after me. I'm terrified of clowns.
Gary helped us actually get a contact with the local Chicago PD so that if someone tries to dox us, they will indeed call us first instead of sending in a SWAT team right away.
Well, that's good.
Yay, the internet.
you want your doxing workflow to be laid out in advance, really. So we're going to talk about Elon Musk. And this came up because I think the three of us are all interested in things on his to-do list. So I have a show called Liftoff with Jason Snell. We talk about the space industry, and a lot of that conversation is about SpaceX, a rocket company that Elon Musk has been a part of for a really long time. There's a book that we're going to mention a little bit later that talks a lot about the history of SpaceX. Right now, they are in a ramp-up period to launch more and more Falcon 9s, their launch vehicle. They're reusable rockets. They want to send space tourists to the moon. They say they have two customers already. And they want to go to Mars. So that's me. Casey's angle is Tesla, right? So electric cars, batteries. It seems like an amazing company to me.
Yeah, it's kind of bananas that it's not unlike the Apple joining the cellular telephone manufacturers, right? You know, oh, they could never figure this out. How could that be? And, you know, Motorola's been around forever. And, you know, how could Tesla take on General Motors? General Motors has been around forever. But sure enough, it's not apples to apples, but Tesla's really making a dent. And as a car enthusiast, it is absolutely fascinating to watch Elon and his team just make unbelievable strides in the department of electric cars.
We did have the Boring Company, which I think wins for the name alone. This
absolutely.
Is a company that is putting tunnels in the ground. The initial vision, I think, Alex, you can correct me if I'm wrong, it was you're in your car and you stay in your car and it just kind of lowers into this tunnel and gets zipped around the city, right? Like a very fancy hamster tube.
Yeah, it's kind of like he wants to build the underground tunnels of Disney World, but only just for his Tesla. Like, the place where the characters go, picture, like, a Disney character, except it's a Tesla, and then you go underground and you get to secretly go across the city. Also, it's kind of like he wants to build a public infrastructure thing, but privately. So what could go wrong?
And underground.
What could go wrong?
There was a tweet today, actually, we were preparing our notes. Today he tweeted, just received verbal government approval for the Boring Company to build underground Melissey cities, New York, Philadelphia, Baltimore, D.C. Hyperloop. Hyperloop is it's a company he's not a part of. He had this idea that we put people inside tubes and then you make the tubes basically near vacuum. So there's very little air resistance. And then you use magnets like a you know, super fast bullet train and shoot them through the tunnel. He says you can get from New York to D.C. in 29 minutes. Okay, so you told me earlier, how long of a drive is that now, New York to D.C.?
Yeah, so my family used to be in Connecticut, and I'm in Richmond, Virginia, which means I would have to drive through D.C., Philadelphia, Baltimore. Actually, it was D.C., Baltimore, Philadelphia, through New York City, et cetera. And typically, on a day where there's other people on the road, so during waking hours, it's probably like a 4-hour drive, if I recall correctly, if not worse. And he said from DC to New York, and he's saying 29 minutes. I mean, I would pay all of the money in order to get from DC to New York in 29 minutes. That's absolutely bananas.
You could do it in your Volvo. It'd be awesome.
That would be cool.
So who knows what verbal government approval means? It's not official until the president tweets it, but what's that going on?
Sick burn.
Alex, why don't you explain the last two? Because I think they're the two that most people are like the most unfamiliar with. Like, what are these things?
So we in the notes here have OpenAI, which is basically an open source, not an open source company, but they are releasing everything they have. It's a nonprofit organization where they just want to get scientists together to share all of their information about machine learning, artificial intelligence, and like the robots people are making all over the world. Because Elon Musk is absolutely terrified of artificial intelligence. He somehow sneaks in like ways to talk about how robots are going to kill us all in like every interview that happens. But that's also funny because so he founds OpenAI, but then he starts hiring people who are part of this OpenAI project for his new company called Neuralink, which is, and to quote from their website, Neuralink is developing ultra-high bandwidth brain-machine interfaces to connect humans and computers. So he's terrified of robots, but he has a company to build, make people into cyborgs, actually. So yeah. He's like, I'm Elon Musk, you know, my favorite problematic boyfriend. He is the one man who I almost feel like it's a false flag because he's always like, yep. Oh, artificial intelligence, really bad, real bad. Except I think he makes more robots than anybody else in the world at this point. I mean, I don't know, robot or not, that could be debated. But yeah, I'm really excited and confused by both of these projects.
Yeah, those last two really seem at odds to me. Also, Neuralink, a couple things, sounds like some sort of health vitamin that I don't want to take. but I read the tagline, developing ultra-high bandwidth brain-machine interfaces, like 4 times, and I still don't know what it means. Like, it's very, even for Elon Musk, who wants to put people en masse on Mars, it seems kind of out there to me.
Yeah, I mean, he's talked about how we'll get to the book later, but like science fiction was a big influence on him. So most of his companies really do, like, you read their description and you're like, okay, is this from an Asimov book or a Douglas Adams book? It goes between really, really cool and crazy ridiculous.
Yeah, I think that sums it up. So he's doing all this stuff, and like any one of these initiatives or companies would be fascinating, right? A private space company, really the first of its kind, although there are others. They're out in front as far as what they can do. Casey, like you said, some people just walked into the car industry and are disrupting it. A company that digs giant tunnels in the ground. I always laugh when I talk about the Boring Company. I just can't help it. That would be fascinating. OpenAI, Neuralink, all these things would be interesting. But he's doing all of them. And I just don't understand how it's possible. I just help run a little podcast network, and it's completely overwhelming most days. Like, how can one human do all this?
Well, and the question I have is, like, how involved is he? Because it seems like he may just be the guy that kind of swoops in, makes a decision or two, and swoops out. Swoops into the next thing, makes a decision or two, and swoops out. Like, in general, that's the only way that this to-do list makes sense, that this plate of things to do could be achievable. But then again, Elon Musk, from what little I know of him, doesn't strike me as the kind to be hands-off and just cruise. He strikes me as the kind that would be deeply involved in every single one of these things. And so I don't know if he just doesn't sleep, or perhaps the reason he's scared of artificial intelligence is because he is himself an artificial intelligence and thus doesn't need sleep at all. But I don't get it. I mean, I have a regular 9-to-5 jobby job, and then I podcast once a week and once every other week, and I feel utterly and wholly overwhelmed.
Yeah.
I don't know how he does it.
I mean, it's got to be that he's a robot. Or when he got a hair transplant, like, really it's like an alien that took over his brain. And you're right, he just doesn't sleep. And maybe it has the ability to manipulate time. But, like in all seriousness, in the book as well as Wait But Why, which is this great blog, like, the author has interviewed Musk many times. He seems to really just, like, live in his various offices. Like, he makes really I can't believe I'm saying this, he's so practical with the use of his private jets. Like, he designed them to specifically go between each of these factories. And in the early days of PayPal, like, he'd just sleep under his desk in a beanbag. So maybe, I don't know, it's magic hair, it's a magic beanbag, or he's a robot.
The Wait But Why articles, I'll put the first one in the show notes, and if you read the first one, you can find the others. It's incredible. And I've read those, and I follow him on Instagram, and his Instagram is like, unless he's putting it on, which I really don't think he is, he's showing the smallest details of these things. So he'll show, like, a fin on a Falcon 9 and be like, see this thing? We changed the metal makeup of this 5% to save this much weight. Or he'll show a picture of an arm of a robot and say, hey, this is what's, like, bolting in the seats in the new Tesla Model 3, and it does it this way because it's 15% more efficient than the old way. Like, these very, like, detail-oriented things. And it really blows my mind. It really does.
His Instagram is also kind of proof of him maybe being a robot. Like, all of his, you're right. Like, it seems it's either he's putting on a front of, like, look at this beautiful shot of a rocket, but also look at this strangely choreographed photo of my family and I. This it's like what a human would. Or what a robot would think that a human would put on Instagram. Like, yes, this is a casual photo of me and my girlfriend. Totally normal, totally fine. Nothing to see here.
It is the most artificial of artificial intelligences.
Yeah. You know, I think that some Musk critics would point to this sort of thing and say, is he holding these companies back, right? If must step aside, and, you know, there's this term in startup culture of, like, having adult supervision. So, like, the founders are there, and that's fine, but then adult supervision comes in and makes the company work. I think there are critics of his that would say, you know, Tesla could have the Model 3 out. They could be putting, you know, they're putting roofs on houses and these big battery banks and all this stuff now. How much more efficient and, like, down the road could they be? Could they be profitable if someone else was running it? And that's always sort of like the founder's dilemma, right? Of when does the company being held back by sort of the central figure it was built around? Do you guys think any of these companies are at that point?
I don't know. It's so hard to say. I mean, it seems to me that they're all successful in different measures and degrees of success, but successful nevertheless. And so if that's the case, then why mess with what works? I mean, I totally understand what you're driving at, but it seems to me like, man, keep on keeping on because it's working.
Since, as I think we all are big fans of Apple and their company culture and like aesthetic as a whole, it's interesting to me that unlike Steve Jobs, who a lot of people compare Musk to, Elon Musk always overpromises and underdelivers. And I wonder how much that, you know, like it's got to affect the morale of folks who are, he's like, oh, yeah, we're going to go to Mars next year. And all of the engineers are like suddenly having panic attacks. And I wonder how much of like we perceive that he is holding these companies back and how much of it is just, you know, like he's doing bad PR, but really these things are putting out amazing, amazing products, even when he runs his mouth off on Twitter.
Yeah, there's a lot of that talk on Liftoff where he'll say, you know, we're going to have this vehicle ready for a test launch, you know, this month, and they all slip. And that's true of a lot of things in the aerospace industry, but I think you're right that it is something that is a thread through all of Musk's projects that, you know, the Model 3 is behind the model. What's the SUV, Casey? The X.
Model X.
The X was behind and like sort of plagued with these problems. And he actually said, like, one thing I do like about his social media is he's at times refreshingly honest. I know for a fact that's gotten him in trouble at SpaceX, like getting ahead of the official messaging. But, you know, he has said, like, you know, maybe we would do some things differently on this vehicle if we knew what we know now. So, like, that's the other side of it, right? That when they do screw up or they're behind on something, I do feel like he sort of owns up to it and is honest about it. And that's refreshing, but you're absolutely right. Like, you know, if Elon Musk says he's going to be at dinner at 5, I'm sure he's there at 8:30, right? Like, he's got to be a horrible person to live with.
Casey, I'm curious because I know nothing of the car industry, much to the chagrin of the male members of my family. I didn't get into cars until Tesla was like, guys, they're robots that move. is it typical? Like, what? I don't know. Car companies don't typically have, like, you know, hot billionaire CEOs. Or hot CEOs, I don't know. Like, what's it like when a car isn't announced? And, like, is Ferrari, like, not shipping cars? Like, I have no baseline for what is or is not normal in terms of car production.
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. Every manufacturer is a little bit different, and the industry in general is a little bit different. I think Tesla, to my point of view, is more a technology company that just happens to be focusing around cars than it is a more traditional automobile company.
Agreed.
And because of that, I think we judge them more from the mindset and perspective of a technological company. And thus, a tech company would announce a product, announce when, and release it on time. Or, if at all possible, not too terribly late. Whereas, if you think of, like, a car company, like, and the first example that comes to mind is the Dodge Viper, which was, if memory serves, this, like, absolutely outrageous concept car that over time was refined, rebuilt, and eventually became an actual production car. Now, to be fair, it was produced in very small numbers, not unlike, you know, most Teslas, but it was announced way early as a concept. Oh, this is our concept. And so that's, I guess, a concept car is kind of the tech or the car equivalent of a tech's beta. This is a beta or an alpha even. You know, here's an alpha. We're going to call this thing, we're going to call it a Viper, and maybe we'll build it for real, maybe not. And I think in some regard, say the Model 3, for example, if you judge it from the lens of a car company, this is not abnormal. But the difference here is that Musk, I think, he comes from a tech background and is treating it like a tech company. And so he's announcing, you know, hey, it's going to be available in a year or 2 years, whatever the original announcement was. It'll be such and such money. It will be done. And then because it is really a car company as well, that he inevitably misses it every time. Although it sounds like, from what you guys are saying, this is common amongst all of his ventures, because I don't pay near as much attention to, like, SpaceX or any of the other ones. But it sounds like this is a Musk thing. And that's what you were saying earlier, Stephen.
Yeah, it definitely is. And it's more, like I said, it's more in line with the rest of aerospace. But I think it is a little bit different in sort of the other places he works. And I agree with you about Tesla that it is more than a car company, because they are doing, we kind of talked about it earlier, but they merged with SolarCity earlier this year or late last year. And so they are doing battery production. They have basically solar energy collecting roof shingles for like residential houses they've shown off. I think they're shipping pretty soon. They're doing the power wall, so I can put, you know, I could store energy off the grid in my garage and a big battery bank on the wall, and then charge my car with it, run my house off it. All these like sort of these electrical things. You know, I think Tesla's really an energy company, maybe even more so than a tech company.
Yeah,
or at least they're moving that direction. It's just fascinating.
That's really interesting. Yeah, yeah. Is it Tesla that owns the factories that are building you know more lithium ion batteries that have ever exist? I feel like I should know which.
Yeah, isn't that the Gigafactory? Isn't that the whole point of the Gigafactory?
Yeah.
I mean, it's bananas.
Yeah, it's the car is like a really beautiful, expensive Trojan horse. Really, more than anything, you know, to get the technology into the world. It's pretty wild, but yeah, I find it all so interesting. And the thing that really gets me is, like I said earlier, is that any one of these things would be fascinating on their own. But like all together, I think his overall idea and sort of push is to either improve the planet we're on, and if that doesn't work, have a backup plan. So there's this interview I'll put in the show notes that he did at the Code conference last year. We covered it in depth on Liftoff because it was so fascinating. It's the interview that you... It was kind of made famous about his response to if we're living in a simulation or not. And he thinks that like there's kind of no way we're not living in a simulation, which is really interesting. But in that, you can see this thread weaving through his work of, let's make cars cleaner and make energy clean. And if we can do that, then, you know, we can slow down the damage we're doing to our own planet. But hey, we really ought to have a backup plan, and that backup plan, of course, is Mars, being the next closest planet. We can't live on Venus for lots of reasons I won't go into now, but Venus is a place you don't want to be. But Mars could be turned into some place we could live, and he even has an idea around that of terraforming. And if you set off like nuclear weapons at the poles, you could warm up Mars enough that we could live there without too much discomfort. Like crazy stuff, right? Like stuff that I think Musk plans go well beyond his lifetime, and maybe, you know, probably honestly beyond ours, but it is, I think that's kind of where he wants to take us.
What kind of blew my mind, and I'm not sure if it was in the interview you mentioned or in the Wake Up Why article by Tim Urban, where he talks about Mars basically as a hard drive backup of Earth. Like the idea is not to get... One is none. The idea is not that he wants everybody to leave Earth, but that he truly values humanity. And again, maybe just a false flag because he's a robot. But it's fascinating. And he also thinks of his kids almost like that way. Like he treats them as like his favorite computers. And he treats Mars as like this new hard drive for us to fill up and format in any way that we want. It's really mind blowing to me.
Yeah, no doubt. I found the video. So that'll be in the show notes.
The thing that really blows my mind about Elon Musk is, and maybe I'm just not bright, but I have a heck of a time just trying to keep through going through my routine every day. And I have a pretty simple, pretty straightforward, pretty easy routine. And just keeping that ball rolling with one child and one job and one side thing is not easy for me. And he has how many things that are like changing the world? I want to change the world by going to a new planet. I want to change the world by revamping how energy works. I want to change the world by changing how we commute or drive or whatever. And then I want to change the world by preventing us from getting killed by robots, et cetera, et cetera. Like, how does one person make... I know we're kind of belaboring this, and I'm sorry, but how does this happen? I can barely get through my routine, and he's doing six different things that are all changing the world.
Probably uses workflow on his iPad.
That's got to be the answer. That's why I'm failing so miserably, right?
It's got to be it. That's it. It's problem solved. If we would all just be more like Federico, the world would be a better place.
Wouldn't it indeed?
Oh, for sure.
So I think we're getting close to wrapping this up, but I wanted to mention a book. I read it last year, I think right after it came out. It's called Elon Musk, Tesla, SpaceX, and the Quest for a Fantastic Future. You get it on Amazon. It's like $12 on the Kindle. And it is a look at his life and his career. Like I said, there's a lot of early stuff in there, a lot of early SpaceX, and they're like blowing up rockets in the jungle. A lot of early Tesla stuff where they're basically just like plugging laptop batteries into a roadster to see if it would work. Like a lot of early stuff. I believe that he, I don't know if he's interviewed. I can't remember if he's interviewed in the book, but I think he at the very least went along with it and didn't try to stop it from happening, which is good. It's a fascinating read. So if you're interested in Musk or these companies, even if you're not interested in Tesla, but just SpaceX or vice versa, there's plenty of stuff in this book. It is a little bit now, I guess, a year old. So the Boring Company and whatnot are not in there. But the two big things are definitely plenty to read, plenty to enjoy. So we'll have a link to that as well. If you want to find those links, you can do so in your podcast app of choice that you're listening to me right now, or relay.fm/fusionmembers/7. Casey and Alex, thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks for having me again.
If you're not a Relay member and you're listening to this, we still love you. We forgive you for bootlegging this, but you should go check out our membership. You can go to any show page. So go to Analog or go to Roboism and hit one of those membership buttons, and you can feel happy that you're no longer bootlegging this and you're supporting podcasts that you love. And until next month, adios.